Let me show you a picture of Brian Howard. Brian Howard is a singer-songwriter. He puts together music, maybe especially for kiddos. In 1974, he wrote a song that is just moving, profound, deep, abiding. It goes like this. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. It goes on. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Well, there's more. I just want to be a sheep, but anyway, we should take his picture down. It actually has verses, and some of them go on like this. I don't want to be a goat. Nope. See, I told you it was deep, you know. There's another verse. I don't want to be a hypocrite, because they're not hip to it. I just want to be a sheep, but anyway. I don't want to be a Pharisee. Because they're not fair, you see. There's another verse. I don't want to be a Sadducee, because they're so sad, you see. I just want to be a child of God, walking the same path he trod. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. When you hear recordings of it, you can imagine it in the setting of Vacation Bible School and 100 kids all cheering along with ba, 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 ba. The kids smile and they giggle and they have a blast. We've done it here. We've done it with our preschool kids and, well, they have a grand time laughing and giggling and ba, ba-ing along. I wonder, though, should we? Should we tell them the rest of the story? Can they take it? Can they take the harder parts, the grown-up parts, that this shepherd is, well, really in some ways kind of a pretender? This shepherd is really no shepherd at all. In fact, he is himself a lamb slain, one giving up his life for us all. And maybe that's the grown-up part of the story. That no one will snatch them from my hand, even if it kills me. This tenacious spirit of Jesus, this determined and resolute and unbreakable grip of God, this peculiar and divine agency that is dedicated to keeping us and choosing us, this peculiar and divine agency that is dedicated to loving us and saving us. No matter what. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Maybe we should tell the kids the truth about that too. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Well, that's really only a half truth, because as they grow up, they're going to want something else too. Have you raised a child? I just want to be a sheep, but it's also true that I just want to be free of this shepherd, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be free of this flock, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be free of this pasture, free of this following, ba, 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 ba. They'll get there, won't they? Maybe you've been there. It has dawned on us all that we're both drawn in and drawn out all at the same time. Let me show you another picture. Do you recognize this? You're afraid to say David Brooks, right? Somebody whispered in my ear once that he's liberals' favorite Republican. I don't know. But thank you. He's a columnist for the New York Times, and he's a commentator and an author, and he writes in the New York Times. In fact, last week his piece was called "How Covenants Make Us." It's worth looking up. If I see your phone come out of your pocket and you go to that article, I mean, I wouldn't be bothered. It goes right to this point. Brooks makes the case that we live in an age when the human race is facing changes that were never possible before. Brooks makes the case that we're living in an age where there are forces coursing through the social fabric that we share, that these forces shape us, that these forces are shaping our lives and our sensibilities, and they are real. The first one he talks about is global migration. Global migration, and you know, he lifts that up as a way to make the case that now, more than ever before, we live within this soup of demographic diversity, like we've never seen it before. There are compressed together people of different languages, dress, traditions, styles, religions, food. We're elbow to elbow with folks who are totally unlike ourselves. That force shapes society. The second one that he picks up is economic globalization. That's wonderful and awful. That's good and difficult all at the same time. This globalization provides opportunity, but it also comes often at a terrible cost, the exploitation of the poor with systemic inequality for so many. What do you think Brooks' third one is? He's got four. What's the third one? What's your guess that is kind of new in our age? It's, duh, that the internet has given us more choice than we ever thought possible, more choice than we've ever had. We get to choose what to buy. We can choose what to watch. We can choose what to believe. And I can even tune out the stuff that I don't want to watch, that I don't want to believe. That all of this power of the screen lets me immerse myself in what I like or totally exclude myself from that which I don't. Brooks goes on to say that the fourth major force, the fourth most important and profound agency at work in social culture is that we have created a culture of autonomy. What's autonomy? I don't need you, thank you very much, right? That I am a self. That in so many ways, Brooks goes on to say that we have valorized individual choice. We hold that in such esteem, we think it's good and we've arrived somewhere because we have self-determination. And that's held up as this highest of values. Like these forces or not, they all have power and they shape us. Now, I suppose it's true that on the one hand, they're good. They're good because they remind me that I matter. That for me as an individual, that I have potential, that I have value, that I'm special. I sound a little bit like that purple dinosaur, you know. is that Barney? And all of that is good, and all of that is true, that freedom is good, that freedom is indeed a blessing. Thanks. But isn't it also true that all those things also present us with tremendous disadvantages? In fact, Brooks goes on to say that those forces disintegrate social cohesion. Well, that's kind of a mouthful. But that they work against national cohesion, that economic inequality busts us up into these classes, that we stratify very quickly the haves and the have-nots, that all of this emphasis or even idolatry of individual choice keeps us from attending to or caring for our neighbors. Is that right? I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Well, not really. We really don't want to be sheep. We really don't want to belong. Global migration, economic globalization, the internet, and cultural autonomy, all these forces contribute to the destruction of our attachments to each other. And you start to see that in all kinds of ways. Alienated young men join ISIS in order to belong to something. High schoolers shoot up their schools in order to feel powerful. Their political polarization keeps us from talking to each other. Instead, we prefer to just shout over each other or shout past each other. Maybe you've seen that. That racism and sexism and bigotry of those of all those things, they persist because I can just avoid the people who are different. I can just avoid the people who make me feel uncomfortable. I can just get away from those who seem alien to my way of being in the world. Leave me alone. I don't trust you. Leave me alone. I don't like you. Leave me alone. I don't need you. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I guess I do, but I don't. There's this tension. Should I be in or would I rather be out? Maybe it's dialectical. Maybe there is this tension woven in for all of us. That's sort of a Lutheran way to think, don't you think? That we're free and yet somehow also dedicated to the others. That I'm also an individual, but, you know, at the same time, I'm compassionate for the people in my group. I'm separate, but I'm still loving, at least in some way. What happens is Brooks kind of comes to his conclusion, and he tries to make the case that what's needed is a new kind of patriotism. Maybe. He talks about a patriotism that's, different than mere tolerance. Tolerance, he says, means I'm going to stomach your right to be different. If you disappear off the face of the earth, however, I'm no worse off. This new patriotism that he likes, though, says something like this, that love of country, which necessitates love of each other, that we have to be a nation that aspires to love, which recognizes that you have worth and you have dignity and I need you. You are part of my whole, part of the promise of this great land. I don't know if Brooks is right. I mean, I like that, but I don't know if it's enough. A new patriotism, a new kind of wanting, maybe a new and deeper conversion. John's gospel puts it like this. They gathered around him and said, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus said, "I have told you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because," what? "You don't belong. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." This lamb, this shepherd, this one slain, that one who gave up his life for us all, no one will snatch from his hand this tenacious spirit of Jesus, resolute and determined and unbreakable, this peculiar and divine agency dedicated to keeping us, dedicated to saving us. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Maybe the kids have it right after all. Amen.